Would you please pray with me? O bearer of the cross, we acknowledge this morning that you are no stranger to suffering, and we know that everything that afflicts us afflicts you as well. And while your presence with us is as a balm to our spirits, God, it doesn't make it much easier. And so, God, we ask as we meditate on the book of Job, as we contemplate Job's tale of woe and restoration, that you might speak to us this morning an encouraging, life-giving word. This we ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everything is awesome. Or so goes the theme song of the 2014 blockbuster hit, The Lego Movie. The movie both begins and ends with this song's addictive techno beat. Everything is awesome. If you haven't heard it, it's set to post up to the church's Facebook right after the service. But there is, of course, a large middle chunk of the movie where everything is not quite so awesome. The main character is an ordinary guy named Emmett, and there's a large chunk of the movie where his life is in utter peril. Poor old Emmett is mistook for the master builder, a long prophesied hero who is meant to save the Lego universe from destruction. But with the help of a tough young lady named Lucy and an old mystic, voiced by none other than Morgan Freeman himself, Emmett is able to defeat a supervillain meant on stifling creativity by gluing all the Legos together. Like most made-for-kid movies, everything is made right and resolved in the last 5 minutes. Everything is awesome, and then for a long time it's not, and then suddenly everything is awesome again. I think just maybe the makers of the Lego movie got their plot points from the book of Job. If you'll remember where we started this journey 2 weeks ago, everything really was awesome. Job had a big family, a lot of livestock, and a full retinue of servants. That was the first 12 verses of the book of Job. In the next 7 verses, everything Job had was destroyed, and we've talked a lot about that. Then, for the next 40 chapters, not verses, mind you, but chapters, Job suffers, and he suffers mightily. He's stricken with sores, cursed by his family, talked down to by his friends. His hope, as we talked about last week, was completely and utterly destroyed. He gets to a point where he literally curses the day he was born and accuses God of being a violent criminal. In response, what does God do? God more or less calls Job a fool. And then suddenly, in the last 8 verses of the 42nd chapter, if this were a movie, this would be like the last 30 seconds of the movie, Job is praised for speaking rightly of God, and his fortunes are restored twofold. Everything is awesome, and then for a long time, it's not. And then suddenly, everything is awesome again. Now, it needs to be said that, as a whole, the book of Job doesn't lend itself to easy answers about much of anything. Scholars of every stripe find its ending just as abrupt and mystifying as do you and I. 1 minute Job is insulting God, and in the next minute God is praising Job for speaking rightly of him. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Now, these bizarre twists notwithstanding, we still need to ask the question, what does the book of Job and its Lego movie-esque plot have to say about the human condition and how that condition relates to God? And it says 3 things to us, I think. First, it says this. It says, Suffering happens, and it happens even if you've done nothing to deserve it. Not only did Job do everything right, he was good to those around him, he was pious, he was loving. Not only did Job do everything right, but God lifted him up, you'll remember, as an example of human excellence. God bragged about Job and how moral and righteous and good he was. Job did nothing wrong, and still bad things happened to him. Suffering happens, and it happens to the best of us, says the book of Job. Secondly, the book of Job says this. It says, God doesn't just take away our suffering. Through verse after verse and page after page and chapter after chapter, we walked with Job as he went through the worst that life could throw at him. Death and disease, poverty, friendlessness, hopelessness, anger, grief. Job walked through it all. And God never swept in to take away Job's suffering. To be sure, God was present with Job throughout his trials, and a lot of the book is actually dedicated to an ongoing conversation between God and Job. But God never just put a stop to Job's pain, as one would like an all-loving and all-powerful God to do. Unfair though it may seem, the book of Job tells us that God is present with us in our suffering, but does not take that suffering away. Now, thirdly and lastly, the book of Job says this. It says, well, that while God doesn't take away our suffering, God does help us to build on top of it. In the verses we read this morning, we are relieved to find something good actually happened to Job. We're told that his fortunes are restored to him once again. His body returns to good health. His brothers and sisters bring him money and gold rings. He comes into twice as many sheep and oxen, camels and donkeys as he had before. And Job and his wife birth a whole new family, and from what we're told, they are far better looking than his old family. Did you catch that? His daughters are extremely beautiful, unlike his old daughters, who weren't quite so attractive. But we can't really say that Job's fortunes were restored to him, can we? His life isn't returned to what it used to be. His original sons and daughters are still dead. His old servants are still gone. All his old herds are still no more. God doesn't bring these back from the dead, and by doing so, erase all the suffering that Job has experienced. No, Job finds a new family, new servants, new livestock, new health. God doesn't undo Job's suffering, but God helps him build an entire new life over top the suffering that he's experienced. So this makes me think of the story of a fellow with an unusual name. His name is Per Wickstrom. Per Wickstrom. At the tender age of 14, Per's girlfriend broke up with him to be with one of his best friends. And distraught, Per sought comfort wherever he could find it. And that's how he turned to his first beer. And finding in that beer a temporary harbor from his girl troubles, he soon found that that beer turned into vodka, and soon that vodka turned into cocaine, and drugs became Per's way of dealing with every single problem that he had, be it a problem with family, with friends, with money, with relationships. This drug addiction that he developed raged for more than 20 years before he finally hit rock bottom. He got to a point where he found that drugs prevented him from doing any of the things that he actually enjoyed in life. He couldn't even hang out with his friends anymore. And at that point, Per decided that he was ready to try to get sober. And so he entered into a treatment center called Narcanon. And through the programs available at Narcanon, he got a grip on his addiction. And after graduating from the program, he decided to dedicate his life to helping others. And he did so by opening his own drug treatment center. Since that day, almost over 20 years ago, he has helped tens of thousands of people out of addiction. Now, the 20 years or so that Per spent in the throes of addiction were not erased by this radical transformation that he experienced. Rather, the new life that he found was built atop those years of suffering. And in many ways, they were the foundation of his new life, giving it shape and giving it purpose. We remember likewise that after the resurrection, Jesus' own hands and feet still bore the marks of the crucifixion. God didn't erase that suffering, but rather those marks became that by which Jesus' followers were able to recognize him as the risen Christ. The marks of Jesus' suffering became a tool for ministry. And atop that suffering was built the church, and is the very reason we're all here in this sanctuary today. This is how God works, says the book of Job. God doesn't erase our suffering, but God helps us build something new atop it. Now, as we look around our world, we see people suffering in all sorts of ways. There's folks down in Louisiana who've lost everything they owned due to flooding. There are folks in African countries who are losing family members to violence as they continue their struggle towards democracy. There are people in our own families who struggle with addiction, with sickness, with anger, with abuse. Now, if only things came around as quickly and as suddenly as they do in the Lego movie or in the book of Job. But they don't, and it often takes a lot of hard work. But our faith says this to us: everything was awesome, and even if for a long time it's not, we trust that with God's help, we can build something new atop that pain, atop that suffering, and everything can be awesome again. Amen.